You're listening to Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.
To combat the spread of COVID-19, we are staying home and staying safe here in Michigan, which has some folks already going a little bit bonkers.
That's what they say. Good morning, I'm Rebecca Kruth. Joining us now via Skype is University of Michigan English professor Ann Curzan. Good morning, socially distanced Ann.
Hello, hello from my home.
So I think at this point, there's probably, you know, a few of us out there who are starting to go a little bit bonkers during this time of quarantining. How are you doing?
Thanks for asking. I'm doing okay. I am glad that we still have this opportunity to spend at least a few minutes talking about words. This is such a difficult and scary and uncertain time. At the same time, I know people are looking for things to think about, and here we can give people a couple of minutes of linguistic entertainment. So let's talk about the word bonkers, which it turns out is a British term by origin, but if you look at usage patterns now, it is also now very much an American term. It goes back to British Navy slang, looks like it may go back as early as the 1920s, and the Oxford English Dictionary has an example, written example from 1943, and the word originally meant lightheaded or mildly drunk.
Of course it does.
And we think that it can be traced back to the noun bonk, as in a bonk to the head.
Bonk. Kind of like that.
Exactly. And you bonk is a word you kind of want to say that way, which also goes back to the verb, which means to strike with a thump or a hollow sound. That's where we get bonkers. By the mid-1940s, we have evidence that bonkers was also being used of people to say that they were crazy or insane. And it was usually used in the predicative, in other words, after the verb. So someone was bonkers or was going bonkers. By the 1960s, bonkers could also be used about a situation to say that a situation was ludicrous or ridiculous. It was just bonkers. And the 1960s is when we also see this term cross the Atlantic and show up in U.S. usage. By the 1990s, it was actually more common in American English than it was in British English. And at this point, it's pretty much neck and neck. So equally British and American. We have been seeing a lot of the word bonkers with COVID-19, and you see it in two different ways. One is to say, this situation is bonkers, where I think people are saying, my whole world has turned upside down, and I don't know how to make sense of this. And the other is people's reaction to being indoors in self-quarantine.
Yeah, I have to admit, I'm starting to feel a little bit that way. You know, that's when I go and take a socially distanced walk.
Now, there was a really nice article in 2017 by Megan Garber in The Atlantic talking about why bonkers was being used so much in 2017. And she made the argument that bonkers is a more whimsical term than something like crazy, because the word crazy is fraught for the way that it could be seen to be making light of mental illness. Now, of course, you could say the same thing about bonkers, but I think that bonkers, given its relationship to the noun and verb bonk, is seen as more whimsical. I also got interested in this question of whether bonkers usually comes after the verb or whether you could see it come before the noun. So we can say that was totally bonkers, but could we say this is a bonkers situation?
I could definitely say that. And I've heard a lot of people say things like that.
And you're absolutely right. When I went to look, you can certainly find it before the noun. You get it more often after the verb of going bonkers or driving someone else bonkers. That is also very possible. The other words you tend to see occur with bonkers are completely, absolutely, totally bonkers. Those are the ways that we intensify it. And then we also get these mitigating words such as a little bit bonkers or kind of bonkers.
All right, Ann, well, thanks so much. And to all of you out there who might feel like you're going a little bonkers, remember, we are all in this together. Thanks so much, Ann.
Take good care, Rebecca.
Anne Curzan is a professor of English at the University of Michigan. We look at the evolution of language every Sunday morning here on Weekend Edition. If you can't always catch us on Sunday, you can subscribe on iTunes. Just search for That's What They Say. And if you have a question about our ever-changing language, email us at language@michiganradio.org.